This is Bill Ayers on 95.5 PLJ. We're back with our Community Connection show. And we have two guests tonight, but it's different because they're both in studio, live in studio here. That doesn't usually happen, but we're very fortunate to have Joe Allen with us, who's the chairman of the board of People to People, an organization up in Rockland County. And my friend Joe Durso, who is on the board of Why Hunger. Of course, this is Hungerthon, folks, all throughout this month. And we're going to be mentioning it to you. If you want to make a donation to the organization that the late Harry Chapin and I started back in 1975, you want to go to hungerthon.org, hungerthon.org, and you can make a donation there. You can see all of the auction items that we have, and you can also see the premium that we have. But that's not what we're talking about for the most part tonight. We're talking about hunger, but in Rockland County. Now, Rockland County, Joe Allen, this is a fairly well-to-do county with pockets of poverty. But you got a lot of hunger up there, right?
We do have a lot of hunger. We have about 30,000 people who do not know where their next meal is coming from.
30,000.
It's fairly consistent with national averages of food insecurity. And it's a big problem because people do look at Rockland County as an affluent community. And they go, well, there can't be a lot of hunger here. Sure. But the fact is, like any other county in America, there is a great deal of hunger in Rockland.
And something that you folks have heard me say probably many times, the place where hunger is growing the most is not in the urban areas, not in the rural areas, but in suburbia. That's shocking. But I think that's since the Great Recession. And it's true. The hunger is growing in Rockland County, Suffolk County, where I am, all over the place in suburbia.
Well, I can tell you, in 2008, when I was fortunate enough to become the president of People to People, which is Rockland's largest food pantry, we were serving about 350 to 400 families every single month. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Now, after the recession hit, we jumped up to, at times, 1,700 families.
Whoa.
And it hasn't really dropped down a whole lot. Now we're averaging about 1,400 or 1,300 at some point. But the amount is, everyone says the economy has improved so much. Well, it hasn't improved enough to take some of the clients off of People to People's rolls.
Let's give you the phone number for People to People, 845-623-4900, 845-623-4900. And the website is People to People,
Inc.
Inc.
.org.
.org.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So I want to have Joe talk to us about hunger, and then Joe Durso is going to chime in as well. But also, Joe Allen is a filmmaker, so we're going to talk about his latest film, which has to do with hunger.
That's right.
So tell us a little bit about the kind of services you guys have with People to People.
Well, primarily the services that we have are built around getting people food.
Sure.
There was a time where we had a number of ancillary services as well. English is a second language, and some help paying different kind of home bills. But we pretty much have consolidated, and again, it's right after the Great Recession, mm-hmm. we consolidated around the one thing that people need most, and that is food. We serve people 5 days a week, mm-hmm. 9 to 5, very few pantries in Rockland, of which, by the way, there are around 50 pantries in Rockland.
Wow.
And we're one of the few that's open 5 days a week in regular hours. So the goal is to make sure that everybody who comes through the door and can show need and can show residency, can get the food that they need for themselves and their families.
All right. So tell us how that happens besides just people walking in and you giving them a bag of food. You don't do that.
No, we don't do that, and we spent quite a number of years working towards what we call client choice,
sure.
And that is a very dignified way of having our clients come in and then be able to go into our pantry and choose the food that they would want for themselves or their family, their level of nutrition that they want to have for their family. And to arbitrarily give someone a bag of food is very helpful, don't get me wrong, but it is really not the best way because now with client choice, people can get what they really want. But that was a big problem to reach that point, mm-hmm. because the facilities, most pantries' facilities are fairly small.
Sure.
Sure. And they need to be retrofitted in order to allow a great deal more shelving, and you need to allow for more food beyond those shelves, and mm-hmm. deliveries have to be made. So it took us about 2 years to retrofit our facility, bring the offices upstairs, open the pantry downstairs, and now people come in, and it's been a tremendous hit, great hit. It's a little tougher on our pantry manager, as you can imagine, but it is just the way to go, and I would urge any pantry that could do that to do that.
Absolutely. But there are special times when you have special kinds of programs for people.
Yes, we do. We have, this is an important time of the year.
Like right now,
right? Starting now for the next 6 weeks until the end of the holidays, everyone seems to be more in tune towards the plight of the hungry. So, for example, we have a program called Talk Turkey. And we will give out between 1,500 and 2,000 turkeys and all the items that go along with that, mm-hmm. so families can have a positive experience around Thanksgiving. And also we find that we're now a food hub as well, because we're serving the other pantries. Every day we get called to say, hey, we're trying to give turkeys out too to our constituency, but we don't have any. Can you send us up turkeys? And we're trafficking in turkeys like crazy in this time of year.
Turkey traffic.
That's right. And we have a program that kicks off the school year. It's called Back to School with Dignity. And that allows all of our clients, kids, mm-hmm. to receive backpacks filled with everything they might need to get off to a good start at school. We want every kid to have the same shot as every other kid.
Sure.
What happens on the second day is out of our hands. But on the first day, those kids are all going to walk in and have that sense of dignity because they have what they need.
So how many kids do you help, do you think?
A couple thousand in that regard.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
And again, we're also shipping out backpacks to other smaller pantries who are doing the same thing that we're doing. And we have a program that is about to kick off called Project Joy. And Project Joy is for the holidays. And people adopt families, and they take letters, and they get everything that's on the letters and what the kids want and how they want it. And then we have a big celebration, and the families come in, and they get all their bags of items. One of the things that I've always fought against is that benevolent, although it's not such a positive feeling, when you have a one toy to give to a kid, right? My kids, knock on wood, they would come down on Christmas morning. They'd have their choice of a whole bunch of toys,
yeah, sure.
and a whole bunch of clothes and games. And we wanted to make sure that all kids have that experience. Mm-hmm. So Project Joy, people adopt families, and then the families come and get that. We find that both of those activities, Project Joy and Back to School with Dignity, is a great gateway mm-hmm. for people to know what our pantry does and know what services we provide. And now they come in, and we have people who started off donating for Project Joy who have become big donors now on the primary food pantry responsibility.
Because they see what you're really doing.
Sure. The more you can get people to interact is the better. Another way we see that is when we do a food drive, and we do them. There's many going on every weekend, and so many good organizations are standing up for us and doing food drives for us. But somebody goes into a supermarket, and they buy a can of soup, and they give us the can of soup. And that's wonderful. That goes on our shelves, and that's used within days. But if they would have given us the cash that they use to buy that can of soup, we'd be able to buy 7 cans of soup. So it's all a process of learning. The can is donated to us because it's a goodness of the heart issue, mm-hmm. right? People feel good in taking sure. something that is tangible and providing it to those in need. But the real work can be done much better if we had a currency that we could buy 7 times with.
Absolutely.
Now, I have a quick question.
When
someone shows up at the food pantry, do they have to show any documentation, any, say, where they live or what their needs are? How's
well,
that process
it depends
work?
What they're showing up for. Somebody can come in an emergency situation, and nobody will ever get turned down.
Yeah.
Okay, nobody is going to come into our place and get turned down. And at that point, we really are not asking them for ID. We have one question. Are you hungry? And if they are, here you go. Here's something to get you by. Then if they want to become a client, then we need them to come in and give us some documentation, mm-hmm. where they live, something that indicates their financial situation, mm-hmm. and so on. Because, you know, we don't want people who are not from the county to be coming in. But again, everyone who can come in an emergency situation will get taken care of.
Do you find certain times of the month it's higher traffic than others? Like at the end of the month, people running out of...
Well, that's, you know, we give out a little more than 2 weeks of food. Maybe 16 days or so on. Mm. And that's not enough. No. So everyone has to go to another place, another way to get it. Mm. And as you know, the SNAP program does not provide anywhere nearly enough funds for anybody to get a nutritious set of food for their family at all. So everybody is going one or two places.
SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, is the one that used to be called food stamps. It's a wonderful program. It helps millions and millions of people, but it doesn't do everything, that's for sure. And that's where you guys come in.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't go far enough either. And now under what is likely to be a difficult farm bill, they're rushing to pass a farm bill, of which SNAP is included in that farm bill. Before this past election, there was talk of increasing the work rules and work requirements that was going to be very difficult for people to stay on SNAP. And they were going to have to go off of SNAP. And the question was whether it would be 3 million or 4 million folks. But every one of those folks would end up in a food pantry.
Absolutely.
Because there's nowhere else to go. And food pantries right now are dealing with about two-thirds of the pantries in the U.S., are dealing with fighting to keep their doors open, either because of a lack of funds or a lack of volunteers.
All right, so folks, you want to do something good for the season, and not just for the season, but volunteer in a soup kitchen, a food pantry. If you're in Rockland County, you want to go to People to People, but there are dozens of these, hundreds of them, in the New York metropolitan area, probably a couple of thousand in the New York metropolitan area. There's one near you. There's probably more than one near you. They could use your money, but also your volunteer. So don't just do it for Thanksgiving. A lot of people do that for Thanksgiving, and that's a wonderful thing. But think about it down the line, because a couple of weeks from now, people are not going to be thinking about this. A couple of months from now, it's long gone. So this is a wonderful thing. And if you need to get in touch and find out where there's a group near you, you can go to our website, whyhunger.org, and we have a list there of tens of thousands of organizations all over the country. We can connect you to them. You can also call our National Hunger Hotline, 1-800-5-HUNGRY, 1-800-548-6479, and we can connect you to emergency food in your neighborhood, to all the government feeding programs. And we just actually came back from a party in which we were honoring the woman who runs that, Sue Leventhal, and she is wonderful. I listen to her when she does these things. She has such a sense of compassion, and she works really hard to make sure that people get connected to food that they need and any of the other resources. And it isn't just food, by the way, folks. One of the things that Why Hunger has known for over the years is helping people get out of poverty. From the beginning, we said that feeding people is just the first step. It's a very important step. But the second step is helping people to get out of poverty. And the third step, I call it the third dimension now, is trying to remove some of the barriers that keep people from being the kind of people who don't need food, getting out of poverty. What are some of those barriers? Sexism, racism, economic injustice, wage theft that's happens to many of the poorest people in America who are working, especially in the food industry, whether they're farm workers or restaurant workers or sometimes store workers. A lot of times they get cheated out of their money. So, and then the other thing, of course, is minimum wages. Now, you're listening to us in the metropolitan area, if you are. We have raised the minimum wage in each of our states, and that's a very good thing, and it will continue to do that. But the federal minimum wage is now $7.25 an hour. It hasn't been moved in 9 years. $7.25 an hour. My daughter lives in Tennessee, and they have $7.25 an hour. There is no state minimum wage. So this is something that we need to change around the country. This will eliminate tens of millions of people who are now poor and hungry. It could be done relatively easily, and it does not hurt businesses for the most part. It just doesn't, because you find out that if you're paying people more, they become more loyal to you. They become better customers too, but better workers. And it makes a big difference. So these are some of the things that Why Hunger does. We work on all three of those dimensions. And our guest tonight is Joe Allen. And he works on the dimension of feeding people, but also connecting people to other services that will help them to get out of poverty. The phone number for People to People is 845-623-4900, 845-623-4900. And it's People to People, Inc., PeopleToPeopleInc.org. And once again, you can find groups all over the metropolitan area that you can volunteer to, you can donate to, and do it now, but also do it 6 months from now. Joe, let me ask you a question about some of the times, and you and I were talking about this before, when kids are the hungriest, when you have special programs for them.
Yeah, it's a very big problem on the weekends and summer vacation. Kids are often getting meals at school, mm-hmm. and then comes Friday, yeah. and they go home, and for many there are no meals available over that weekend. So what People to People does is we've created a program called It's in the Bag, and we'll put weekend feeding packages together, and then we'll send them down to some of the population centers, into some of the community organizations and local facilities mm-hmm. that people go to, and we'll give them the supply. This way they don't have to come up to the food pantry.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Because transportation, as you know, is a tough issue for some people. You know, the people are using their small available discretionary funds to get in Uber rides or cabs to come to us, and we don't want that. So we send it down. We have one in Nyack, we have one in Haverstraw, we have one in Spring Valley, and we keep expanding that all the time. Same thing with the summer times. Summer times are brutal. I grew up revering the end of June because it was summer vacation and it was the glorious time of the year. Right. But for people who are fighting against hunger, it's a difficult time of year because the programs available for them are very tough.
There is a summer feeding program, but it reaches about 16% of all the eligible kids. So many years ago, Joe's heard me talk about this. I came up with this idea of adding money onto the SNAP card. And it took me years, but I convinced the USDA to do it. They did it as a pilot project for 3 years. And guess what? They did it in like six different places around the country. So it was hundreds of thousands, but not millions of people. It was a test case, pilot project. They cut down hunger by more than 30%. When they did that. So it worked. And then I had a guy call me a couple of years ago who was the head of the USDA Food and Nutrition Service I was friendly with. And he said, I'm calling you to tell you some great news. President Obama has put $2 billion into this program for the next 10 years. I said, wow. Now guess what happened, of course? You know, mm-hmm. It's all gone. And it's so simple to do. And it's cost saving in the long run because it gets kids ready to learn. It gets kids out of hospitals and, you know, mm-hmm. doctors for bad nutrition. And it works.
Bill, so many of the problems that we have in fighting hunger, the solutions are really right in front of us. we throw out as a country 40% mm-hmm. of all food that's sure. manufactured. Well, right there alone is a huge bounty for people who need it if we can figure out how to get it to them. Mm-hmm. You go into a supermarket at 11 o'clock at night and their hot food, which is being taken off that hot food area, it's going into dumpsters. It's being thrown away because supermarkets are afraid of liability.
It's not just the hot food. A lot of times it's the bread
yes,
and the cakes.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah. And a lot of the manufacturers and large bakeries and some of the big stores in Rockland County are very generous, and we have wonderful programs with them. But 40% is getting thrown out. People are taking bananas with a little brown spot on them and throwing them away because they don't want to eat them, or an apple that's got a little spot on it, or these draconian label laws that we have, best used by, and these are not health department labels. These are designed to move product off shelves, right? Now, I can't take them because... And while there are Good Samaritan laws that will protect the food pantry if they're using food that's really close to the best use by, it's a public relations nightmare. Mm. You know.
So a lot of difficulties in trying to get food to hungry people, and knowing that that's only the first step, and we've been talking about that. It's the first step. The second step, obviously, is getting people out of poverty. And that's something you guys are working on as well.
Well, you have to do that.
Sure.
Otherwise, you have generations of people who are clients, and we really do not want that. Mm-hmm. Our greatest victories are when somebody who was a client comes back and comes as a volunteer.
Ah, that's great.
Those are the best. Mm-hmm. Those are the best. On the other side of the coin, it's terrible when someone who was a volunteer ends up being a client because
and that happened during the Great Recession.
Well, it happens quite frequently because the working poor, mm-hmm. The percentage is very high of people who are receiving benefits who
working.
Are working.
Oh, absolutely.
Right,
sure.
You know,
sure.
it's a terrible situation when that happens, and we see it all the time. And a problem that we have in that is that once somebody starts to earn a little bit more, not enough. Mm-hmm. to do well and okay, but a little bit more, then they start reaching the maximums and they end up getting knocked off of SNAP. Mm-hmm. So we disincentivize people to raise themselves out of poverty. When we have training programs that are getting people the jobs that are making $40,000 and $50,000 a year and not $25,000 or $30,000 a year, then we'll start to see that really change. But our systems are not set up to pull people out of poverty so easily.
And that's a big thing, by the way, knowing that you need to have a living wage. And that's two words that we use all the time, a living wage.
So do we.
Not
mm-hmm.
just a minimum wage, but a living wage. You got to raise the minimum wage, but you want to have a living wage for people. And if people have a living wage, they don't go hungry.
Right. Hey, Bill, if someone's on a living wage at $15 an hour, and it's a 40-hour work week, that's $600 a week, $30,000 a year. And if there's two couples, and now you have $60,000 in a household, which now you're starting to be able to get by. Mm-hmm. But on where does SNAP? Do either one of you know the
30.
Numbers?
Well, that's gone a long time ago.
Yeah.
They can't get SNAP, and they shouldn't. They don't need it.
$30,000 SNAP is gone. Right.
Pretty much
for a family of four.
Yeah.
Okay.
So people to people has $45,000 as its top of the line.
The whole family income.
Family of four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Family of four.
This is Bill Ayers on 95.5 PLJ. This is our Community Connection show. We have two guests tonight, Joe Allen, who's the chairman of the board of People to People. It's an organization up in Rockland County. They are the largest food pantry in Rockland County. They're in West Nyack, and they serve all kinds of people, as well as, what does it say, 30 or 40 different other...
There's about 50 food pantries in Rockland.
50 food pantries as well. All right, and our other guest is Joe Durso, who is a wonderful musician and singer and songwriter and is a member of the board of Why Hunger and is somebody who's really become an anti-hunger champion. Say a little bit about what motivates you, Joe.
Well, I think there was a quote that came from your friend Harry Chapin.
Yeah, right.
That said that hunger in America, hunger is an obscenity. Hunger in America was the ultimate obscenity.
Exactly.
And growing up in this area, we were talking about earlier of having the Hungerthon shows from the UN and the Rotunda. And I remember being a kid listening to radio stations. And when you're 13 or 14 years old, you're usually, well, I was not in my household, a big Italian household. I always had a lot of food. Mm-hmm. Working class, middle class, maybe lower middle class, but working class. And especially in an Italian family where food is such a part of the holidays or the weekends, Sunday meals. Right. I never realized that there were people right outside my door in the New York area who were going hungry. Yeah. So when I heard those Hungerthon specials from the UN, and I was like, what is that? Like, people are hungry right here. So that that had an effect on me. And then years later, when it was brought, when being involved with Why Hunger was brought to me from my lawyer at the time, and it was to be part of the One Step Up, Two Steps Back CD release on Capitol Records of the Springsteen songs, and then to be the house band at Motown and the Beacon Theater,
right.
That really, which is now 22 years ago that I've
been
involved
baby,
with.
I know.
Yeah. It was very funny because I was wearing my my dear friend or good friend of both of ours, David Kimmel, had given me a shirt, which was the first Why Hunger shirts. It was red. Actually,
yes.
World Hunger Year.
Absolutely.
And I was thin enough.
I have one of those.
I was thin enough. 22 years ago, I could fit into David's shirt. And that was from an event that you and Harry had done at the Culinary Institute of New York.
Oh, yeah.
And he was involved with that.
Wow, that's a long time.
And he dug that
ago.
Shirt out of his out of the back of his drawer, and I wore it that day. And you and I were just meeting for the first time, and you said, I know that shirt. So the reason of getting involved was just the, I guess, just the frustration that this was going on right outside my door. There was waste, you know. Listen, billions and billions, hundreds of millions are spent on weapons that hopefully we will never use.
Yeah.
And yet we can't take care of the social fabric of our society to make it stronger.
Absolutely.
You know, a well-fed, better educated, healthier society makes your country a stronger, better place. Why wouldn't you want it? And I'm amazed that we have politicians who fight against that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll fight for certain things, and they'll fight, you know, I'm not going to get into exactly the topics, but they will fight tooth and nail about life. And then once that life comes into this world, and they don't want to know about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I understand the pro and cons on life there, but let's follow this through to the end.
Yeah,
I mean, and it's, you know, and it just seems like common sense. If you had a society where people were well-fed, well-educated, they will be healthier. So that will take a lot of the pressure off there. But we do live in a, you know, at times, we live in a caste system where there are people who definitely rank and put everyone mm-hmm. in certain categories.
It's true.
And then, you know, unbeknownst to most people, we serve to make our problems worse on our own. And one of the things we do is we create what's called food deserts.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, you start to eliminate SNAP more and more. What happens is the small grocery store in a neighborhood
disappears
that was providing right. food there says I can't make it here. I'm going to go up on the avenue down a couple of miles away. Well, then there's no place for the people in that community to get food.
That's right. Happened over and over again.
Right. Over and over and over. I'll go one over on you.
Okay.
It happens regularly.
It happens in big cities. It happens
right.
in rural areas.
And people
as well.
Can't live on just pasta and rice and all those different things. They need vegetables and they need food. It's not just sure. about food. It's healthy food. Nutrition.
Pasta and rice is almost moving up in the world compared to the mother that's forced to give her kids Pringles or potato
right.
chips. I don't mean to
right.
to focus on any one particular product, but the lack of access to healthy, nutritious food, which is why you guys at Why Hunger are just so inspirational to those of us in the food pantry world, because you're attacking the problem almost at its core.
Absolutely.
And if we don't have a way to provide good nutrition, then we're just throwing Band-Aids
right.
and hoping one of them sticks onto people.
Right.
Folks, this is Hungerthon time. We do this every year, and we've done it for the last few years on right here on WPLJ. So all day Tuesday, this Tuesday, the 20th, We will be on WPLJ. We'll be on a whole bunch of other stations around the city and all over the country. And we'll be asking people to make a donation by going to whyhunger.org or hungerthon.org. That's very simple, hungerthon.org. And there you can see lots of interesting premiere that we have. We have a John Lennon hat and coasters. We have Bruce Springsteen, Land of Hope and Dreams hat. Mm-hmm. We've got stuff.
From Tom Morello.
Tom Morello. We got a Tom Morello, Hunger is a Crime shirt and also a hat. And all kinds of things that you can get to be great presents for the holidays. So go to hungerthon.org. There's also a great auction. And there's probably about 150 items up right now, including one that's Joe Durso. Joe's going to come and do a concert for somebody, some lucky person.
I heard there's a hot bidding war going on.
Yeah, there's a hot bidding war going on for Joe's concert. And Tom Chapin has a concert.
Yeah,
He's doing it. But there's also, you know, some really extraordinary things. And some of them are way past anything I could afford, but some of them aren't. So take a look at that. You go to charitybuzz.com/hungerthon. And you'll see 150 items there. They're very, very interesting. So in any case, this is Hungerthon. And as you know, I've been doing this for many, many years. We started our first Hungerthon, Harry Chapin and I did, in 1975. And we did it for like 28 hours and stayed up for it. And then we did them all over the country for a while. And then after Harry died, we didn't do it for a while. But ever since 1985, we've been doing Hungerthons. And we've raised a lot of money. And it's helped us to keep going. So please make a donation, especially if you've been a listener to the shows that I've been doing over the years. You want to do a thank you, then make a donation to hungerthon.org.
Bill, I have two quick questions. One was, what came first, Hungerthon or World Hunger Year?
No, Why Hunger came first.
Right, and then you
guys... But at the same time, Hungerthon came right away.
Right away.
Yes, it was Harry's idea to start Why Hunger. It was my idea to do Hungerthons. We had two crazy guys doing two crazy things, and we did them.
And then since 1975 to now, so we're talking 43 years of hunger in America, have all those people who have gotten help, and we know what's the statistic now? How many? 37?
No, about 40 million people.
40 million people.
When we say hungry, we don't mean that they're starving. We mean that people are skipping meals. They're eating a food that's inexpensive and cheap and not nutritious. And sometimes people skip meals so that the kids can eat. It's horrible.
So there's a part of me that shudders to think organizations like Why Hunger or Feeding America, and if they didn't exist, would that number 40 be 80 million? Or who knows? Or you wonder if there would have been some crazy revolution along the way we're helping people along. But I wonder, sometimes, and I try to play devil's advocate with the work we do, that we let politicians off the hook where we kind of keep
this. No, absolutely. See, the truth is that all of the organizations that provide food, like Joe's organization, like the thousands of organizations we work with, what they do is a drop in the bucket in comparison to what is needed. Mm-hmm. So, it's an emergency food system, supposedly, but it isn't. People are not coming just for emergencies. They're coming because they're not making enough money.
Right.
They're coming because they have a federal program, a SNAP program, that doesn't provide them with enough money to get by. They're coming because they're disabled. They're coming because they're seniors and who don't have anything but Social Security, and you can't live on just Social Security. There's single moms. There are all kinds of people. And now there's veterans. We have a lot of veterans that we work with. They come back from serving in Afghanistan or Iraq or someplace.
Right.
Sometimes they have injuries. We get them calling on our National Hunger Hotline, and we help them. And there are groups like the Long Island Cares, where I am. They have a whole program for veterans. Well, that's crazy. We shouldn't have to have that. The VA should be helping.
And
them.
Disgraceful. As
and
a
you
country.
Know, yeah. You know what else? We're not even getting an accurate count because in that count, you're not taking into consideration the homeless, who are not counted, and now we have a new enemy in making sure food gets to people, and that's people who are very concerned to come out because they're afraid the immigration folks will.
You're finding that up where you are.
Oh yes,
right?
We're finding that tremendously. We know there are so many people that need food, And it's not my job to, or our job, to make a value judgment on whether someone deserves food.
Sure, sure.
I make the value judgment that everyone on earth deserves food.
Sure, sure.
But they're afraid to come. So how do we feed those people? So we really don't know how much larger than 40 million this problem is.
Well said.
You know, I was down in West Virginia. I'm going back a few years now, and I was performing at a venue that was right next to a soup kitchen. So I went in there to talk with the ladies in the kitchen. You know, I'd been at Why Hunger for a while, and I just wanted to find out some on the line, you know, in the trenches conversation. And so I was sitting at the table for a while, and then one of them came over and said, you know, we're not serving till 2 o'clock, or whatever time it was. I said, no. I said, I'm not here to eat. I'm playing next door. I said, I just wanted to kind of talk. So I went in the back kitchen and started talking to the ladies. This one woman, Frankie, who had been there forever, she was a real sweetheart and very knowledgeable of that area. And she was saying there was two things that were going on at that time. One, there was more single males than ever before.
Yes.
That was coming through. Yes. And she said what she had noticed was, she goes, I used to see our volume go up the last 3 to 5 days of a month when people falling short. And she goes, now what's happening is it's 10 or 12 days that people are just falling short quicker than ever before.
And the thing that hurts me as a citizen, as a resident of this country, of America, is the number of children that are in danger.
12 million.
Yes, and it's not even just so they can't fill their stomachs tonight. It's what happens to them over a period of time when they don't have access to food. A hungry child can't learn. A hungry child feels humiliation. A hungry child is often bullied. Mm. A hungry child is separate from everybody else. So we're in danger of losing a generation, because a kid who can't learn is not going to be able to compete in the business world.
So let me tell you something that we've been working on, and that is free lunch and free breakfast. Mm-hmm. And lots of places have free lunch now. But in New York City, just a year and a half ago or so, New York City said, no, now it's going to be free breakfast as well. And, I mean, I almost cried when I saw it. Because we've been working on that for 30 years.
Right.
And not just our organization, but dozens and dozens of organizations coming together. And we finally did it. So now every kid in New York City going to school gets not only a free lunch, but also a free breakfast.
Right.
And so we're trying to have that grow around the country. Some places do it. A lot of places still don't do it. But it's just in terms of what you're saying, Joe, that you know, kids who don't eat don't learn. Well, we decided years ago that kids needed books, so we gave them free books. We also decided that if kids were past a certain distance, they needed free transportation to get there. So those two things were very vital. It didn't always happen that way. You know, when I was a kid, we didn't have school buses. But that's happened. So that's a great thing. Now the breakthrough is kids also need food to learn. And that's happening in many places in the country. It still needs to happen. And then it needs to happen in the summertime and on vacations as well.
You know, one of the things that we should be happy about is the fact that we can't solve while we can't solve hunger, that has to come from a much larger entity, as in the federal government. What our goal is, and our goal at the pantry is slightly different from yours, our goal is to just stay one step ahead of the demon, if you will. All right? But to live in a place where the private sector or the local government is doing what New York City is doing with breakfast and lunch is really where the miracle is happening, because it's not happening from up top. And I often say the help is not coming from above, and I don't mean the deity sense. The help is not coming, and we have to be our own help.
Sure.
So our own advocacy is what's most important.
Well, you know, it's, you know, a lot of different businesses in this country, you know, we've seen what's gone on in the last 5 to 10 years in the cannabis world, where a lot of funds come in now, you know, from that. And it seems like the way to solve hunger is figuring out a way where someone can make money to make sure everyone's well fed and have nutritious food. And I don't have that solution, but it seems that's the only time that businesses in America get behind something. Meanwhile, I'm sure if we looked at the percentage of people who were incarcerated in this country over the years, how many who had hunger issues in their home or hunger issues themselves?
Very high percentage.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so you're adding on to all your problems. And again, nutrition and education, they go hand in hand to making a better, stronger society.
Well, now, there's a good example. There is a bill now in the Congress to reform the criminal justice system, which is I've done so many shows. Bruce knows I've done shows with people on the criminal justice system. It's a disgrace. You know, we have all kinds of kids being incarcerated for long periods of time for small things. We have people who are incarcerated because they couldn't come up with a $100 bail.
Right.
You know, so this is a piece of legislation that a lot of people have come together, people from very conservative backgrounds, progressive backgrounds, middle of the road, Republicans, Democrats, we're all saying, we got to change this. And hopefully that's going to get passed. The president says he wants to pass it, so that's a good thing right now. But that's one of the pieces that you're talking about that leads to hunger. You know, when you have people who become incarcerated and then they came out and they can't get jobs, well, then all of a sudden they can't be the kind of productive citizens. So we got to change that whole system, take care and keep really dangerous people off the streets, but then deal with some of the nonviolent criminals in a different way.
Everything we're talking about here tonight has tentacles far beyond just what
exactly.
the current discussion is.
Exactly. Sure.
You know, until we figure out how to take care of our veterans when they come out of service, mm-hmm. we're not really attacking this.
Sure.
You have a large homeless population of mm-hmm. among veterans. You have people who are now severely injured and they've been working as hard as they can to kind of come back and be productive. And it's heartbreaking that somebody who's willing to lay down their lives for our country, they come back and there's no way we don't take care of them. How can that be?
Well, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, you know, we've known each other a while and I'm far from being a cynical person, but this veterans coming back, you know, and not having the best care, the best hospitals. And it's kind of like, in all honesty, well, we're done with you. You did what we needed you to do. Now go away. And it's a horrible way to think, but
it can't be that way.
It cannot be that way. We, you know, they should, you know, our veterans should have the best hospitals, the best mm-hmm. programs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a bunch of veterans organizations in this country that are pushing for better means. But it seems like when they sign on that dotted line now, because there's no draft and they haven't been for a long time, that should be part of the agreement.
Absolutely. And, we're going to take care of you.
Yeah.
This is Bill Ayers on 95.5 PLJ. We're talking about hunger and poverty. And this is part of Hungerthon. Hungerthon is something we've been doing for many, many years at Why Hunger. And Joe Durso is a member of the board of Why Hunger. He's also a wonderful musician. And we had a big concert at his place today up in the upper reaches of New Jersey.
Yes.
It was a wonderful time. And Joe Allen is the chairman of the board for People to People, an organization in Rockland County. Their phone number is 845-623-4900. Their website is peopletopeople.org. People to People,
Inc. PeopleToPeopleInc.org.
Yeah, get the ink there. Get the ink. Right. Okay. So we've been talking about the work that Joe does in fighting hunger and poverty. But I know a piece of that is that you're a filmmaker. You've done, I think, this is the fourth film now. Tell us, let's work our way backwards. Start with the one you're doing now.
Sure. The film we're working on now is called Empty Cupboards. And we take Rockland County as being representative of all counties because hunger is present in all counties. Mm-hmm. And this film is going to study the issue of hunger from several different points of view. The point of view of the large box, I call them, feeding programs like Feeding America, and the regional food banks. We'll do a piece. We're going to look carefully at organizations like Why Hunger, who are attacking the problem from a different vantage point on how to self-help a community and how a community can make sure nutrition is better. And then from the boots on the ground, as I call it, like People to People and other and other pantries. Then we're going to also look at the fact that we have the solutions to hunger at our fingertips. We just choose as a society not to use them. There's technology that's out there now that can take food that's about to be thrown away and reconstitute it and come and have enough calories to feed some someone nutritiously. You can take food from the grocery store or the at the end of the day, and things like chicken nuggets become something else, or the vegetables that are about to be thrown out can be something else too. And then the fact, the worst fact to me, I think, is the is that 40% of all food that's manufactured gets thrown away. So we have the answers to hunger, we just don't take them. And this film is designed to make every one of them far more visible. Because you mentioned before that people don't want to believe that there's hunger in their communities. Mm-hmm. And there is hunger in every community. Mm-hmm. And until we make people realize that hunger is a problem, it's not just for those people or the ones over there.
It's us.
It's us. Mm-hmm. It's us. It's, and if you have a senior citizen in your family, they're at risk. And if you have a kid who comes down and asks for a snack, and not only you can't give him a snack, you can't even give him a meal, they're at risk. So there's risks all around us. So the goal of Empty Cupboards is to make the issue of hunger in suburbia come to light.
One of the things that Why Hunger is doing, and we've been doing it for many years, is working on a movement. There is a movement afoot in this country. I call it a movement of movements. And it's a movement of people who are like yourself, who work at a food bank or a food pantry or a soup kitchen. And it's people who work on a legislative level trying to change laws that eliminate poverty or reduce poverty. And it's farm workers, it's farmers, small farmers. It's people who are interested in the environment, and they recognize the connection between the environment and you're talking about food waste. Well, a lot of food waste is in the fields as well. Mm-hmm. A lot of food never gets even to the pantry. It gets to the garbage in the fields. Mm-hmm. So there's a movement of movements, and it is very exciting. And we see some of the very best people in the country that we work with all over the country. And we start with the notion that food is a human right. And every country in the world except the United States and I think Australia have bought onto that. And we still haven't yet, and we should. Food is a human right.
It's stunning to me how many people are involved in some way or another in the fight against hunger and wanting to do something. Mm-hmm. Look, we were all at the same event today, mm-hmm. and all those people in the room were there to support the fight against hunger. Right.
And what's funny, what Willie had said today was, Willie Nile, our good friend Willie Nile, who's part of our concert today, he said, you don't meet anyone who's for hunger. Everyone's against hunger. And the fact that 40 million people are, going to bed hungry, it's crazy.
This time of year, so many people want to volunteer at a food pantry, at a soup kitchen, at Meals on Wheels, at some place that's providing food, because our emotional hearth gets touched this time of year. Exactly. And we want to share our hearth with people.
There was a great thing going back to Bill's old friend Harry Chapin, whereas hunger is a very big issue in schools at this time of the year. But what happens if next week we started talking about what we can do, and maybe we hold off on some other subject for a bit and figure out how we can get this integrated into the psyche and the teachings that go on. And then people will always say, well, that's not as important as mathematics or geometry. But how can making your country a healthier, better place not be as important as any other subject that's ever taught?
When we started, Harry used to do schools all the time. I mean, I did some of them with him, but he did a lot of them. Mm. He did high schools. He did colleges. Sometimes he did grammar schools as well. And he'd go in and talk to kids about hunger and poverty. And it was a great experience when we did it.
Right. You know why that's important to do? Because we have news cycles that go by in a flash. Mm-hmm. And what'll happen is right now, as we hit the holidays, everyone is positive and their hearts are open. We'll hit January 1st, and the donations to pantries all over will go right down. And people kind of forget that the hungry need to eat in February as well as at the holidays.
Sure.
So until this becomes a mission, which is why making it visible is so important, and that's why we're doing the film, but we got to make sure that people realize that this is 12 months a year.
Right.
And if we're not fighting it all 12 months, it's a real problem
for
us.
Well, you know, it's great that people care and give in November and December. Those are the give. You know, we say the giving months where people do a lot of charitable things. But I'm an optimist. I hope that there's a percentage every year that keeps growing, that it stays with them for the other 10 months. But I get frustrated when I hear those numbers growing over the years of people who don't have nutritious food, who are going, you know, skipping meals or going hungry. And just this, you know, we're a country that's been looking at this problem for 40-something years. You know, I'm fortunate enough, I've performed now in 26 or 27 countries. And very rarely, I'll talk to my friends, a lot of countries don't have hunger issues like we have. And
it's a scandal.
Yeah, it is a scandal. You've been at this for 43 years, and we still haven't cracked the code. We still haven't got to the bottom of it.
So, you know, which, you know, leads me to believe, again, not being cynical, but there must be some money to be made in keeping millions of people hungry. And that's just one part of it. I think it breaks down to all different things. Again, we said be incarceration or certain. There's all these different businesses that go on by keeping certain folks at the bottom where they are.
This is Bill Ayers on 95.5 PLJ. We have two guests tonight, Joe Allen, who's the chairman of the board of People to People. Their website is peopletopeopleinc.org. And their phone number is 845-623-4900, 845-623-4900. If you live in Rockland County, you should help them. And if you need help, you can call them at that number as well. If you're anyplace else and you're hungry or you know somebody that's hungry, you can call our Why Hunger hotline, 1-800-5-HUNGRY, 1-800-548-6479. We will connect you to emergency food in your neighborhood, one or two or three different places, and all the government feeding programs. And we'll also try to help you if you need some other kinds of services. And that's a key thing that we've been talking about all night. It's just the first step when people get fed. And it's a very important step. But then people need to get out of poverty. When Harry Chapin, and some of you listening are too young to remember him, but he was a wonderful singer and songwriter and social activist. He died in an automobile accident in 1981. But he and I only worked together for about 7 or 8 years, but we're able to get something started that's continued all these years. And the whole idea is to try to help people to get out of hunger, but also out of poverty. And that means to gain power in their life. We've always said the root cause of hunger is poverty. Root cause of poverty is powerlessness. Powerlessness can come because you're out of a job. Powerless can come because you got sick. But powerless can come because you're in a job and it's a low-paying job and you're stuck in it. Or you're being cheated out of your wages. Or, you know, there's all kinds of things. Or maybe you can't get a job because of your nationality, your race, your gender, your religion. So all of these things happen in our society that oppress people and keep people from being the kind of people that they need to be and having food. So we try to fight these grave injustices at the same time as we're fighting against hunger, because it's all connected. It's all connected. And so Joe Allen has spent a good bit of his time and many years now working on this, and also has just done this film. And you're a filmmaker. You've done a couple of other films before that really have something to do with social issues.
Yeah, I try to stay in the social issue realm. We finished a film about a year and a half ago on a moment in the civil rights history that took place in a small Rockland County village, Hilburn, New York. And there were two schools that were segregated under separate but equal rules. And it took the appearance of Thurgood Marshall in the community to litigate the case with the Department of Education to get that turned around. Unfortunately, what happened is when they desegregated the schools, all the white families pulled their kids out of school. Wow. And they send them to private schools. But luckily, segregation is in that regard is expensive, and they couldn't afford the private schools, so they all came back, and everything was fine. And that case was the precursor to the way Thurgood Marshall argued Brown versus a Board of Education. So that was a tremendous film. It's won some awards, I'm happy to say. And
can you find it on Netflix or someplace?
No, you can't find it on Netflix because I have not done a great job in distributing it. But you can hop on my Facebook site and we'll get it. And then we did one on World War II veterans going to Washington on honor flight, and that's a beautiful day for a World War II or a Korean War veteran. And then we started this community stuff with a group in Rockland County that was fighting to get the International Olympic Committee to have a moment of silence on behalf of the 11 Israeli athletes, coaches, and officials who were killed by Black September terrorists in 1972 in Munich.
Something that I should have mentioned earlier in the show, this is very exciting news for me. After all these years, I finally have a podcast. So write this down, folks. OG Podcast Network. OG Podcast Network. You can find the Community Connection Show. You can find my live show there. And you can find it on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. So it's the Bill Ayers Show and Community Connections. So after all these years, if you miss a show, and of course at this time of night, a lot of people do miss a show, you can get it just by going to OG Podcast Network. I'm really delighted with that. We've worked very hard on it all these past months, and we've got it now. So take advantage of it. And I want to thank our guest tonight. Joe Durso is a board member of Why Hunger, and he's been with us for a long time. He's also a wonderful musician and singer and songwriter, and he has a number of records out. As I say records.
Yeah.
It's my age, but he has a number of CDs out. And mention a couple, Joe.
So I've put out 14 records since 1991.
But we'll be here all night. Just mention a couple.
My newest one is called Jersey Diner, which just came out earlier this year. And before that was a record called Sway, Rock and Roll Station, Glow, Cause. So yeah, I've been very fortunate that songs keep showing up, and I have and enough people keep on picking up the records when I'm on tour, and I keep on putting them out.
Good for you, brother.
Yeah. Thanks.
And then also we've had with us Joe Allen, who is a filmmaker, but also a guy who has spent a good part of his years since you retired.
Well, just 2 weeks ago.
Oh, just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
so you've been doing this for many years before.
I have, yeah. Yeah, right. It's in my blood, and I'll stay in this realm forever now.
Good for you. So if you want to get in touch with Joe Allen, he is the chairman of the board of People to People, Inc.org. That's the website. You can get them at 845-623-4900. 845-623-4900. And remember, folks, it's Hungerthon. So if you want to help us out and make a donation to Why Hunger, the organization the late Harry Chapin and I started, which I've been with for 43 years, you can go to hungerthon.org and make a donation. You can also get a wonderful gift that you can give as a holiday gift, all kinds of good stuff. And you can go on to CharityBuzz/Hungerthon, and you will see about 150 items to bid on. But most of us don't have the money to do that. I understand that. I certainly don't. So no donation is too small, we always say, nor too large for that matter. But no donation is too small. So go to hungerthon.org. I want to thank the Joes for being with us tonight, Joe Allen and also Joe Durso.
Thank you very much. It's you're an inspiration to those who work in the hunger world, so thank you for having me.
Thanks so much,
Ditto.
Guys.
Thank you.
Till the next time, this is Bill Ayers, and I wish you much peace and love and hope. That's something we all need a lot of.